I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What you missed while you were sleeping. An earthquake 22 miles west of Los Angeles. Not only were various people tweeting about it, people that I follow who are in the Los Angeles area, but there were also AP news alerts and weather alerts about it as well. So 22 miles northwest of Los Angeles, California. At 11:41 p.m. Pacific time. So that was during our first hour of the show. In addition to that, we've also had Australian Open tennis. Serena Williams has moved on to the third round of the Aussie Open, first major, as well as other results that are filtering in from down under. It's kind of fun to have live tennis, any live sporting event while we're on the radio. And now as you wake up, you could, well, nah, you don't want to flip on the TV and watch tennis. You know you want to listen to us. Good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. For us, it's the hump show from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house a home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Clearly, I haven't said it enough because someone asked us whether or not we would be going to Miami for Super Bowl week. I feel like a broken record, actually, and I've tweeted it. Maybe I need to put something on Facebook. Yes, in fact, this time next week, we'll be in the final hour of our first show from the site of Super Bowl 54. So looking forward to it. There's a lot of time yet where we can talk about the game. I'm not into talking about the game yet, even though the preparations are taking place in Kansas City as well as in the Bay Area. But I did write my weekly column about the Super Bowl and how it's a feel-good story. Period. I don't even need to know who wins. It's already a feel-good story. So I hope you'll check that out. The link is on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'm going to retweet it right now, actually, while I'm talking and tweeting at the same time. It usually doesn't go well. Sometimes I end up favoriting things that I don't actually want to favorite, or I end up retweeting the wrong thing, or I open up somebody's link that I had zero interest in. It's also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It didn't happen while you were sleeping. Unless you've been in a coma. If you've been sleeping for the last 14 hours, I am extremely jealous. That is highly unfair. Sometimes I wonder if I could sleep for 14 hours, 12 hours even. I can't even sleep for 10, for heaven's sakes. Not even with the drugs. The dog won't allow it. Neither will a cat. Oh my gosh, she's a pain in the butt. Anyway, if you've been sleeping for that long, more power to you. It should be a great Wednesday for you. That would be the only way, or if you were in the midst of radio silence, in which case you wouldn't be listening to me, that would be the only way that you missed Derek Jeter and the controversy. Oh, so much controversy. The social media mob is gearing up to find out the one voter who dared not to include Jeter on the first ballot. Hey, it could be a woman, Kevin Harlan. Let's not be sexist. Poor Kevin. He has no idea what's happening right now. One voter left Derek Jeter off the ballot. How dare he or she? I have a weird brain. I will just readily admit it. My mind comes up with all kinds of weird things. For instance, true story, when I was reading a book on my Kindle yesterday, I swiped left with my nose. I wanted to see if it worked.
Get out of here!
No, I did, I swear. Come on. There's got to be someone else listening to my voice right now who saw Ryan Tannehill swipe with his nose on the sidelines of the AFC Championship. For heaven's sakes, everybody talked about it. It was all over social media as well as highlighted on the CBS broadcast. Come on, you guys. Do you really think I'm the only person in America who has since tried swiping their device with their nose?
No.
Thank you. Okay. So I did that on Tuesday. That's how my brain works. I was looking at my Kindle. I had my fork in one hand because I was reading while I was eating. And I swiped with my nose rather than put the fork down. It was a little bit awkward, but it worked in case of emergencies. Thanks, Ryan. Anyway, that was a side note. That was a scenic route right there. We took a little lap around the cul-de-sac.
Thank you.
thank you, Ryan Tannehill and Coach O. So the controversy over who didn't put Derek Jeter on the first ballot. It's crazy, right? By the way, be careful what you believe on social media, because there is no doubt in my mind that people are going to fabricate ballots just to act like they know who it is. So far, of the 219 ballots that have been made public, Derek Jeter was included on all of them. Anyway, here's my question. Do you think that person's sleeping right now? That man or woman? Or do you think that man or woman is hiding all of the evidence, destroying it, stomping on the SD card, burning up the ballot, maybe even getting off social media altogether? The mob's coming for you, voter on your own island. It's just crazy how we work in this world of social media. Honestly, that was a bigger story for a while than the two guys that got into the Hall of Fame, for heaven's sakes. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Jeter was getting in no matter what. I think it's almost, it's cute that one of the clutchest players in the history of the baseball postseason, 158 playoff games, which is an MLB record, 5 World Series rings in his 20 seasons in what is probably the most tightly packed pressure cooker in all of sports. And yet Jeter says he was anxious waiting for the phone call to come. I like that. That's an emotion I can identify with. Does he care about the fact that he only got 396 of 397 ballots?
I could care less, to be quite honest with you. It takes a lot of votes to get into the Hall of Fame, and to get that many people to all agree is pretty difficult to do. So, I don't think about that. It's a complete honor to be in the Hall of Fame.
He makes a good point. Considering the political climate in our country, no, I do not talk politics, but just in general, considering the political climate where we're pretty much split down the middle, the fact that 396 of 397 people agreed that Derek Jeter is a first ballot Hall of Famer is rather impressive, which speaks to how impressive his career was, of course. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Complete other end of the spectrum, which is why I love this 2020 Hall of Fame class. Other end of the spectrum is Larry Walker. I enjoyed writing my CBS Sports Minute about Larry Walker. Walker admits he'd pretty much given up. He said he did the math. He looked at the number of ballots that were cast in his favor a year ago, his penultimate year on the ballot, and he figured he was going to come up short. He thought he would get a sizable rise in the number of ballots cast in his favor, but he didn't think he would have enough. And yet, miracles happen, baby. Do you know only 7 players in the history of baseball have ever been inducted into the Hall of Fame on their last year on the ballot. Okay, so you get 10 years of eligibility. And then, there, of course, there's the, it's not called this officially, but it's the Old Timers Committee. So you do have another opportunity. But to get voted in by the baseball writers, you have 10 years. And so Larry Walker was sitting at 54.5% of the votes last year. He needed 75%. Of the seven different players who have ever made it in year 10, no one has ever seen a jump in the number of ballots cast in his favor like Larry Walker. How about that? So not only a piece of history, but a miracle. And he admits he was already bracing for disappointment. He was resigned to it, which I think that's an emotion we can all identify with, right? Because we all face disappointments in our lives. And one of the ways that we combat the disappointment is to tell ourselves, it's not going to happen. It's fine. I'm okay with it. I'm going to lower my expectations. Now, it never works for me. I'm still disappointed. I feel like I tell myself that, but it doesn't actually work. I still get my hopes up. For Larry Walker, though, the call came. A 22% jump in the number of ballots. Do you know he got only 6 more votes than he needed? But that's enough, and now no one can take it away.
It was so special. Like I say, I barely remember the moment. I was kind of floating on air and having some friends and family around me. And, you know, a lot of things entered my head when the phone rang. And as I was hearing what was being said to me, you know, and as a Canadian, it was a proud moment for me to represent my country and be able to join Ferguson Jenkins in the Hall of Fame.
17 years with the Expos, Rockies, Cardinals, a National League MVP in 1997 with Colorado. And it's interesting to talk to our Rockies insider, Thomas Harding, who joined us from Denver in the first hour. The stigma of playing at Coors Field. That's one of the major reasons why it took him all these years. And so Larry said after the fact on MLB Network, he really hopes this opens things up for guys like Todd Helton. And he also mentions Nolan Arenado. Interestingly enough, that's the other star that we talked about with Thomas Harding. Arenado disrespected, that was the word he used when he talked to Harding earlier this week. Why have things gone so horribly wrong between him and the organization? Well, you have to check that interview out. Really interesting stuff from Thomas. It's on our podcast, After Hours, amielawrence.com. Rick is in Baltimore. So, Rick, my producer tells me you want to share something with me.
Yes. Yeah, I want to make you feel more comfortable with your decisions in life. I've been swiping with my nose for months.
Oh, so you started it. Ryan Tannehill got it from you.
It's okay. You can take the credit. I don't mind. But especially when you're cooking, you got a recipe on your phone, and you got one messy hand.
Uh-huh.
You got to use the nose. My son's gone a step beyond. You know how you can use your fingerprint to like unlock your phone?
Mm-hmm.
He used his nose as one of his options for a fingerprint. He thought if, you know, he falls down, breaks his legs and his arms, he can still activate the phone and call 911 with his nose.
I guess. Got to be prepared in every situation. So I've never used my nose before, but certainly cooking, I have done the tap with a knuckle, or I've used my elbow. Elbow, it's not as easy as it sounds, but it still is skin. So if you get it at the right angle, you can use your elbow. I've used, you know, kind of my wrist, like folding my arm up or my hand up and using my wrist. Nose was a new one for me. Like I said, it was a little bit awkward, especially if you're like me and you have long hair. So I think I would have to be careful about what was around. I really don't want my hair in my food, but yeah, it worked. It worked for that, moment. So I guess it's you and me then. You and me and Ryan Tannehill, Rick.
Fair enough. You must have pointier elbows than I do. And I've been accused of having pointy ones. I don't think I could pull that off with good accuracy.
I'm afraid
of what I might click on.
I mean, the nose has kind of got the same flat plane as the elbow,
yeah.
No?
I think it's more finger-specific. I think it's a better approximation.
Well, the fact that I have a really old phone may work in my favor. I don't have one of those newfangled machines. Thank you, Rick. I appreciate the validation.
Enjoy the rest of your week.
All right, that's two of us.
It stings the nostrils.
It actually didn't sting the nostrils. That's two of us. Can you guys just try it right now while you're in there? So when we go to a break, can we all open up our phones and try to swipe left or right? Not on Tinder. That could be dangerous. I don't actually have Tinder on my phone. Oh, Dave's married. He doesn't have Tinder on his phone. Absolutely not. I would kick your butt. Chris, do you have a dating app on your phone? Oh, wait. You're not prepared to admit this information, are you?
No, I have no problem admitting it. I've used the dating app plenty of times.
Have you ever swiped with your nose?
No.
Now, which one is it? Swipe left if you're keeping the person, swiped right if you're jilting the person?
Swipe right is to like them, swipe left
is
to
dislike them. Now, see, this is why I could never, well, this and other reasons, why I would never do a dating app, because I would forget which way to do it, and I would swipe the wrong direction. That's so me. You guys, you know that's me. I'm the girl who asks you, what did I just say we're going to talk about? You know I would forget.
Here's the kicker. If you do that on some of the apps, they can charge you to become like a super member so you can go back and undo your miss swipe.
Please. So not only do you have to remember which way to swipe, you have to pay for the right to do it.
Right. If you mess up and you accidentally swipe the wrong way on somebody that you actually like or thought was particularly attractive or cute, you have to pay them to go back and swipe.
What, exactly. Okay. It's A, way too complicated. B, it sounds really scary. And C, this would be why I'm still single. Do you think my chances are dwindling even more, the fact that I refuse to swipe right or left with my nose or otherwise?
Well, I think I think it could actually be a good opening line if you tell the person that you match with on a dating app that you swiped on them with your nose. That could be a good first line.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's a great pickup line. Awesome.
I host the National Sports Talk Radio show.
No!
I'm a good athlete. I'm a good cook. And I swiped with you with my nose.
If I wanted to pick up prospective dates with my job, I would just do it on the radio. I mean, I don't need a dating app for that. I've got a national platform. Thank you. That's the exact opposite of what I want to do. How did we get on this tangent? All because I was talking about swiping with my nose. That's what I get. Okay, on that note, good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's all Chris's fault on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
One man to beat 10. He's gone!
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Hey, the guy missed. He's inside the 5. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown!
Southern Salting into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Kansas City Chiefs.
Mahomes moving to his left laterally, chased, holding it, and gets out of bounds and up the sideline. He's not out of bounds yet. He's at the 10, inside the 10. He dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. A remarkable acrobatic scramble on a 27-yard run.
The San Francisco 49ers.
Garoppolo under center from Green Bay's 23-yard line. You check it, a true eye. They're going to run it again. Wide stretch run to Mostert. Gets the edge. Lap cuts back inside. Raheem Mostert has 4 rushing touchdowns and the most yards rushing in a playoff game in 49er history. Oh, by the way, touchdown San Francisco!
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Twist motion by the Titans with defensive pressure, but Mahomes has time here. He throws it long. He's got a man in the middle of the field. Watkins, 15, 10, 5, angling left. Touchdown, Kansas City. A 60-yard touchdown.
Woo! Championship Sunday. I feel like if I listen to those highlights too often, I'll be jonesing for football. And, you know, we got to wait. We got a long ways to go here until Super Bowl 54 kicks off. 3 candidates this week, not 4. We picked the best of the best. This is cream of the crop, TD of the week. The poll is now up on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Patrick Mahomes, Well, he's in two of them. Mitch Holtis with the Chiefs calls on their radio network, but Patrick with that 27-yard touchdown around left end, up the sidelines, dragging tacklers the last 3 or 4 yards. You wouldn't know the man needs surgery for a dislocated kneecap after the season is over. But he also could chuck it deep to Sammy Watkins, 60 yards. Watkins didn't have a touchdown since September 8th, but he rectified that situation on Sunday. And then Raheem Mostert, undrafted, cut by 6 different teams, originally supposed to be a special teams guy, and instead worked his way into the lineup for the Niners. And boy, a record-setting championship game for him at, a good stretch of the second half, but until early in the fourth quarter, he had 4 touchdowns. Jimmy Garoppolo had 4 completions. It's a rather odd way to play football. Oh, unless you're in the 1960s. Ground and pound. But Raheem Mostert, it couldn't have happened to a better guy, better story. I love it. So 4 touchdowns for him. Never happened in a conference championship game before. And Greg Papa with the call on the Niners radio network. So the poll is up. You can vote. And we're going to milk them for all they're worth, because it's going to be a while until we've got fresh highlights. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Don't know if you guys have moved on. I think a lot of people have moved on in the sports world. It's how it works. The news cycle spins ever more furiously. But there are more and more players from inside Major League Baseball who are now making their feelings known about this whole mess with the Houston Astros, the sign-stealing schemes. So this is the latest one that I saw from David Freese. I'll read you his tweet. Take the ring away? ? Maybe that's the right thing to do. Maybe not. Who knows? Giving the title to the runner-up, though, that definitely ain't it. Who would want it that way anyways? I agree with that. It seems like there is more and more of a chorus, again, from inside Major League Baseball, about the Astros getting stripped of the title in 2017, about the Red Sox, and now we're waiting to find out what the commissioner and the investigation reveal about the Red Sox, but about potentially taking these titles away. I struggle with that. I don't feel like you can, and I feel like it's a really difficult thing to quantify. So they stole a sign. Did they steal a sign on what turned out to be a critical pitch that was blasted out of the ballpark? Maybe it was an extra innings. Remember that game 5 between the Dodgers and the Astros? I mean, it was a very tight series. It went to a game 7. But how do you know for sure that a stolen sign tipped the scales? So to me, there's no way to ever quantify that, and there's no formula that's going to tell you exactly how much that mattered. Does it matter? Sure. But how do we know that a stolen sign didn't lead to a swing and a miss? I mean, unless we're going to go back and have video on every single sign that was stolen during the World Series, it kind of feels like it's impossible. But I do respect the fact that there are players inside baseball who feel as though the result shouldn't stand. And since I'm not a member of the baseball fraternity, I would, of course, respect their wishes. I just don't know if that's ever going to happen. Andrew Bogish is here in studio. Andrew, I'm totally changing the subject because I don't think there's a right or wrong answer here. Have you ever tried swiping with your nose on your device?
I have not, Amy.
You haven't?
No.
Would you like to try?
I don't. I actually, I don't
you
think
don't
I
want to try?
I mean,
way to be a party pooper.
What do you want me to do?
So Ryan Tannehill, you know, he was swiping with his nose in the cold at Arrowhead Stadium on Sunday.
I did not know that.
Oh my gosh, you've got to see the video. Well, Chris, if you want to retweet some, like find some Ryan Tannehill swiping with his nose gif, I'm sure it's out there. Anyway, so he had his gloves on. It was freezing cold. So instead of taking his gloves off, he swipes with his nose.
Okay.
So it was a brief moment. They highlighted it on TV. It was kind of funny. A true story. Last night I was reading with my Kindle at dinner, and I was holding my fork in my hand, and I thought, you know what? Let's try it. Let's see if it works. So I swiped left with my nose, and it was a little awkward. I felt like I was kissing my Kindle, but it worked just fine. So I was wondering if you would like to try it.
Yeah, I just did it.
Did it work?
Yeah.
Huh. All right. I feel like in a case of emergencies, you want to know something though? When I, you know, these newfangled touchscreen things that they've given us to call the elevators.
Oh, yes.
So I came in last night. It was freezing cold.
You used your nose on that?
No, just listen. I came in last night with my gloves on. I attempted to push the button. You would think that you could push it, but it didn't work. I briefly considered using my nose just because I had done it an hour before that. And then I realized it's cold and flu season, and most people don't wash their hands after they go to the bathroom, so Correct. It's probably not a good idea.
Now, do you know that this newfangled system downstairs, when you swipe your card to come to the turnstile, the little screen at the turnstile tells you what elevator to go to. It calls the elevator for you.
Why is it so slow?
It knows where you're going.
Do you know how slow it is?
Well, it's just not an elevator down there for you just yet. They're all doing something.
They're all busy at 12:30 a.m. Eastern time?
Maybe. Yesterday, I had to wait for a third elevator to leave here yesterday at 12:30. I guess I was in the middle of the lunch rush. Two showed up after waiting for them.
Whoa.
They finally showed up packed. The third one got me out of here.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You could have taken the stairs. That would have been good exercise.
I'll wait.
So the nose swiping thing.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
I got a new trick. It's on the table now.
Very good. I think you should teach your kiddos that. That'd be fun.
I'm sure they already have done it.
Various body parts to use to swipe. Thank you, Ryan Tannehill, in case of emergencies. Wow, I feel so, like, my day. It's been infused now with this excitement. I taught Andrew something new.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, on that note.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Sturt steals, swung on, and popped up. In back of short, Jeter on the run, makes a one-handed running catch, and dives into the photographer's area. Oh, what a play by Jeter. You can't believe it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
John Sterling, imagine how many incredible, well, all of them, Derek Jeter moments he saw. The voice on the Yankees radio network, and Jeter's career spanned 20 seasons. Over the course of those 20 seasons, he finished in the top eight in the MVP balloting 10 times. That's half of his seasons in Major League Baseball. That's incredible. Talk about consistency. And even though he wasn't a unanimous first ballot Hall of Famer, I can't imagine that is even among the top five things you could say about Derek Jeter's career. To me, it just doesn't matter. And maybe Jeter is lying, but he says it doesn't matter. Why do I feel like it's going to matter to a lot of people until they can figure out who it is? But congratulations to Derek Jeter. That one vote does not keep him out of the Hall of Fame. I love the fact that he played all of his seasons with one team in one uniform. Well, that would be gross. Not in one uniform. You get what I'm saying. It's a colloquialism. So Jeter was in pinstripes for his 20 seasons. He was a rookie of the year. He's got all kinds of postseason records. And this one to me is astounding. 158 playoff games. 158. The guy who's number two on the list isn't anywhere close. I think he's like more than 30 games behind. And five rings. One of my favorite things about Derek Jeter, he always talked about his owner, George Steinbrenner, as Mr. Steinbrenner, referred to him as Mr. Steinbrenner, and referred to Joe Torre, his manager, as Mr. Torre. He respected the game, respected the history. And even now, as the owner of the Marlins, can't stay away from the game. Yeah, here it is. Finished in the top 10. Oh, I got the numbers wrong. Finished in the top 10 of the MVP balloting 8 times. I switched the numbers. This is what I mean. I could never do a dating app because I would switch the sides. I would swipe one way when I meant to swipe the other way. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's easy. Yes. Why don't I give you the correct nerd alert? Otherwise, you'll run around the office telling people what Amy said, and she's flat out wrong and spreading rumors. He finished in the top 10 of the MVP balloting 8 times. Never won it. Got as high as 2nd place. Still, that's phenomenal. 8 of his 20 seasons, he got votes for the MVP. Still, though, 5 World Series crowns. Period. Enough said. So congratulations to Derek Jeter, and he, of course, had a very long list of peeps to thank.
Well, first is my family. I mean, they're the ones that have been around for you know, obviously, my entire career, but just starting from my dream of playing professional baseball when I was 4 or 5 years old. So you think about the family. You think about the Steinbrenner family. Get the opportunity to live out my dream of playing for the New York Yankees, and not only playing for them, but having the opportunity to play 20 years at the major league level with this organization. So you thank the entire Steinbrenner family, the fans of New York. I mean, they're the ones that challenged me. I've said it before, I'll say it again, the greatest fans in the world. And, you know, they're the ones that pushed me day in and day out. I mean, the list goes on and on about the people that I can thank. But I guess I got to save something to say during the speech, right?
Right. On MLB Network, Derek Jeter. Sounds very rehearsed. I mean, he's got a lot of practice now. All the media availability, but also being an owner, you have to be very polished. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Larry Walker, a Canadian, as Andrew Bogish mentioned and we've talked about on the show. And I loved his story that he told about trying to learn all the nuances and rules of baseball. And some of those came the hard way. He actually didn't start playing baseball until he was in his teens. He was a hockey player before that. And it was a crash course when he first got into the minors.
I was in Utica, New York. That was my first year of professional ball. And Gene Glenn, my third base coach, and the late, great Ken Brett was the manager and first base coach. And they put the hit and run on. I took off and didn't peek in to see where the ball was going. But I knew it was hit, rounded second. And Gene Glenn at third was telling me to get back, so I got back. Slid into first ahead of the throw and was safe, easily safe. Got up kicking and screaming and like a little baby, and then Ken Brett said, "Hey, Larry, you got to go back and touch second. You can't cut across the pitcher's mound." I looked at him and I said, "I already touched second. Why do I got to touch it again?"
That's so neat. And I think it's awesome that these two guys represent two of the, they couldn't be more opposite ways to get into the Hall of Fame. But it's the Hall of Fame. It's the same stage. It doesn't matter how you got there. They're both there. So congratulations. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Kim says on Twitter, when you live in Maine, you use your nose on your iPhone. I mean, what if you have a Galaxy? I have a Galaxy. Does the nose not work on the Galaxy? Don't be an iPhone snob. You can stick out your bottom lip and use that too. Okay, that's where I draw the line. There's absolutely, I don't care how cold it is. I would rather take my hand out of my glove. Chances are my hand is cold anyway. And use that hand or my wrist or my knuckle or something. I am not sticking my bottom lip on my phone.
You stay classy.
Do you know where that phone has been? Oh my gosh. There, and I don't know the, I couldn't tell you where this piece of information came from, but I've heard your phone is one of the dirtiest things in your possession. So once I dropped my phone into a bowl of guacamole, and I was worried about my phone getting ruined, but people told me I should have thrown out all the guacamole. No, I didn't. Maybe that explains what happened after that. Maybe that explains everything.
It's science.
Okay, speaking of science, I don't get this. Chris on Twitter, this is where the millennial comes in. Are you ready, Mr. Millennial? It's got to be Mostert. He's voting for our TD of the week just for the Al Bundy memes. I don't understand. Where's the tie between Raheem Mostert and Al Bundy?
Someone Married help. With Children?
Right, but what? Dave's got you. Sorry, know. Millennial. I gave you the first chance. You had a shot.
This is not a millennial reference. Oh. This is before millennial.
Well,
time.
Memes are millennials.
Well, yes. But what's in the meme of Married with Children is Al Bundy always talked about scoring 4 touchdowns for Poke High in his high school football days, his glory days. So it would be him somehow scoring 4 touchdowns in a game.
Can you find one of these memes with Al Bundy? Do you know what Al Bundy looks like?
Yeah.
He's grumpy.
I am insulted.
Are you? Have you watched Married with Children? It wasn't that good.
Of course. With Katie Sagal and the whole gang. Well, yeah.
People did love it. Katie Sagal was really funny. Was it Sagal or Siegel? No, I don't remember.
Sagal.
Anyway, she was really funny. But he was a crankpot. I mean, he was annoying as all get out.
And he plays the same character on Modern Family.
That show would never survive in the Me Too movement.
No.
Okay, let's quick talk to Alana, who's in Pennsylvania. You got about 90 seconds. Go ahead, Alana. Good morning.
Hi. Oh, my goodness. So I listen to you every morning on paper route.
Awesome.
You're amazing. I absolutely cannot stand regular sports radio with men. No offense. Men,
regular sports radio. I don't know what that means. Am I irregular sports radio?
No, just the ones that have like the men commentators. It's just really hard for me to really enjoy listening to the sports and the highlights and everything.
Okay. I'll take it.
But I totally love you.
Thank you.
I was listening to you and you're talking about swiping with your nose, and I do that all the time at work between my phone and my watch.
Wait, you swipe your watch with your phone?
With my nose.
I mean, with your nose. Sorry. How big is the face of your watch? Holy goodness.
It's one of the Fitbits.
Oh.
it's the long and skinny one. So sometimes I just need to like swipe up. So it makes it so much more convenient than pulling out my phone. Because usually my hands are covered in like grout and mortar dust.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. From newspapers, for sure.
Well, not just on the papers, but I work at a construction company, so we're always dealing with, like, the stuff that you put tile down and stuff with.
And you're swiping on your watch with your nose. That's impressive.
Yep.
Huh. All right. Well, I'm glad that there are 3 of us on the island. That's cool. That makes me feel better. Alana, I hope that you have a great day. Stay warm today.
Oh, I will. Thank you. You too.
You're welcome. Wait, is that a compliment? She likes my show. In fact, she loves my show, but not regular sports radio. Wait, what does that mean? Am I abnormal?
I think she's just pointing out the humorous and irreverent nature of the show.
Right. And the fact that I am not a man.
Yes, that too. I think she made that perfectly
clear. So maybe that's what she meant. Regular sports radio is men.
Is it like sports?
Ron Radio's voice? Yeah. Have you ever worked with a person who had a Ron Radio voice?
Oh, yeah. There was someone, I won't name names, that maybe filled in on this time slot back in the day.
Oh,
that
great.
Was very sports
Stop
radio.
Stop talking. Stop. Oh, my God. Oh, I can't believe you just did that. We need to strike that from the record before we all get in trouble. It wasn't me, boss. I wasn't here. Yeah, Ron Radio voice. Except that eventually you're going to forget and stop using the Ron Radio voice, and then you're completely outed. No, we do irregular sports radio around here. Have a great hump day. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.